Welcome. Thank you for being here. How many of you currently are teaching like preschool? 3, 4, 5? So some of you? Okay.
Yeah.
6? A little bit?
And I have grandkids.
Oh, perfect. Well, I hope this can be helpful. I have taught a 3 to 5 year old class. I did that for several years. I've grown up in and around the children's ministry. My dad and brother are both children's ministry pastors. My mom has taught, and my sister have taught children's ministry for a long time. So I've grown up around it. I've assisted in elementary age classes, but I've actually taught the preschool. So I love doing it. I love those opportunities. And there's a handout in the back if you would like to pick one of those up. And I also am part-time on staff with the Ministry of Calvary Curriculum. So Calvary Curriculum is the ministry that my dad and brother kind of run. My dad started it back in the 90s, and our family is full-time with that ministry. And so my part in it is writing and editing, and so along with my brother who does the graphics, and along with the artists whom we hire to do the artwork, I write this curriculum and I help with other things with that ministry part-time. So I enjoy doing that. That's a little bit about my involvement there. So I hope this can be helpful in some way to you. The curriculum I'm going to be discussing can be found on calvarycurriculum.com. That's the website. And it's the Revised and Expanded Little Ones Curriculum. And that will be on the, if you want to turn in your handouts, that is on the top of that page. There's also an original Little Ones curriculum. That is what we originally offered on the website. It is still there. It's still available. It can still be downloaded and printed. But we have also begun a new project, and we're a good way through, nearing completion on that, and that's for the Revised and Expanded Little Ones curriculum. So that's what it is. It's revised. It's expanded. We've added to it. So both of those are available online. What I'm going to be talking about is the Revised and Expanded Little Ones curriculum. So it is a Bible curriculum created as a support to children's ministry teachers, parents, or anyone who's ministering God's word to children. And it's appropriate to use with 3 to 6 year olds. That's kind of the age that we are aiming for in creating this. It offers activity pages to help involve the children according to their abilities. And each Bible story has a list of questions that the teacher can use as a guide to supplement the Bible story. So you have 2 of the pages at the end of your handouts that I'll be talking a little bit more about, but I've also listed the pages that are in each Bible story set. So I'll run through those, explain them a little bit, and then I'm going to talk more specifically about one of those pages. So each Bible story set in the Revised and Expanded Little Ones curriculum has a coloring picture, and on that coloring picture is a memory verse. So the artist we work with is named Matt Baker, and he lives in Australia, and he is a brother in the Lord, and he's done just a ton in the realm of art and just very gifted. So we are blessed to work with him. And you each have an example of a coloring picture. Each one of you probably has a different one. And so you may notice in that when you're thinking about a preschool age into, you know, lower elementary, you may see that that picture has quite a bit of detail in it. And we actually did that intentionally. Oftentimes we hear, or we'll talk about wanting to help the kids color within the lines, which is fine, they're learning those skills. But we also could, we may miss communicating some of the story if we make the picture too simple. And so, for the sake of communicating more of the story, we thought we're going to add more details. And really, when you're teaching this age, you're just happy if the crayon can stay off of the table and, you know, remain on the coloring sheet. So we have decided to add more detail for that reason. and the kids really can still look at the picture and enjoy it, and we want to communicate as much of the story as we can through that picture, because a picture is worth 1,000 words, so that's been our goal. Also, in each Bible story set, there is a teacher-parent question sheet as a guide for the Bible story with questions specific to each story. So this is a sheet that I write in this curriculum, and I study the passage, I look at it, I try to see the main points, and then I write questions that would help lead the children in a very simple way to those main points. And I'm going to talk about that sheet a little bit more in a moment. Also, there is a simple craft with instructions, and there will be 3 pages that come along with the craft. One will be the kids' main craft sheet that they will take home, and there will be a sheet that you would copy. If you look real close at the smaller images, the picture in the middle all the way on the right, there's Jonah reaching out, and so that would be the sheet that has several Jonahs on it that you would photocopy. And then part of your preparation for class would be cutting that Jonah out. And then there's an instruction sheet that would tell you what has to be done to prepare the craft for the class, and then what can be done while in the class with the kids, how the kids can finish the craft, what they glue or, you know, tape or whatever. So there are craft instructions that tell you what's needed before, or what's needed in order to complete the craft. So it could be scissors, could be tape or glue, or like craft sticks or popsicle sticks. So that will be listed. Also, the before class instructions, any preparation you would need to do, and then during class instructions. So that's all on the craft sheet. There is a variety of activity pages, and we know that when we're teaching the Bible to children, that's our point, that's what we want to do. But at the same time, we know children are active. They need to be kept busy. Their hands need to have something to do. Their minds need to have something to think about and to occupy them. And so we have created these activity pages to help with that. They're going to probably be playing with toys and doing other things, perhaps during the class time, but this is also an option. So there's a simple word search that comes along with each Bible story set, and that obviously is going to be more for your 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, those who can recognize letters and find words. And it will, the word search has 6 keywords from the Bible story, and so you can almost use it as a pre-Bible story. So if there's a word in the Bible story and it's also in the worksheet page, you can start talking about that word, and that will help prepare them to hear that word in the Bible story. Maybe now they'll know who that person is or what that word means, because they already did it and talked about it in the word search. Also, just to give them a little bit of help in finding those words, even though they are large letters and there's only 6 of them, we've made the first letter of each of those 6 words a little more bolded, a bolder font, a thicker font. So it's almost subtle, but it's just enough to kind of, your attention will be drawn to that letter. So that's a little thing we added just to help them out. And then there's a dot-to-dot activity page. And this is where the kids will, there's numbered dots, and the kids will complete the coloring picture or a part of the coloring picture by going dot-to-dot. So if they know their numbers, they can do that. As a child, that was one of my favorite activities to do. And then there's, again, for maybe more your 5 or 6-year-olds, the fill-in-the-blank and maze sheet. The fill-in-the-blank would be, it would have 1 or 2words missing from the memory verse. And so if they're able to write at that age, they can fill that in, and then a simple maze. Then the last activity page is find the differences. And this is where we have the coloring picture, and we have 2 versions of it. And one of the versions is different from the original coloring picture. And so they have to spot what's different. The number of changes will be listed somewhere on that page. So there may be 6 changes, there may be 8 changes, so that they can look and see what's different. So I've seen older elementary children, like 5th, 6th grade, 7th grade, enjoying these pages and working together on them and comparing them and seeing what's what's different, what's the same. And I've seen a four-year-old enjoy finding the differences. So this is a wonderful one. It was actually the idea of an eight-year-old boy. And he said, oh, wouldn't this be a cool page to have in the curriculum? So it got us thinking, and we added that in. So the activity pages can be used at any point during your class to help reinforce the Bible story and to help the children enjoy their time in class. I'll mention this also available online on Calvary Curriculum is a leader's guide and a teacher's guide, which a little bit more thoroughly covers these pages if you're interested in learning more about that, as well as a yearly schedule for the curriculum. So I'm going to now spend a little bit of time talking about the teacher-parent question sheet, because that's where a lot of our time in developing this curriculum has gone, and I want to explain that a little bit. So the way you use this sheet will depend on the age of children you're with and the dynamics of your setup, whether you're, you know, I don't know if you have a classroom in a church or if you're with release time or however, or your grandchildren or whatever your situation is, it will depend, how you use the question sheet will depend upon your situation. So we create it in a way so that you could hopefully be helped by it, but you wouldn't need to use it every bit of it, and I'll explain more. The question sheet can be used as a study help during the teacher's preparation time at home. I'm just going to read through these and I'll explain more. Number two, the questions can be interspersed throughout the story time to encourage involvement from the children. I love asking questions throughout the story time. That's one of my favorite ways to use questions. Number three, the question sheet can be used during a specific question and answer time in class. Number four, the list of questions can be used during a game or activity as a Bible story review. Number five, the question sheet can be copied onto the back of the coloring picture to be sent home with each child. This helps to include parents that they might know what their child learned during class. This is something that I would highly suggest. Just as in your handouts, you have the coloring picture back-to-back with the teacher-parent question sheet. When the coloring picture goes home with the child, the parent sees their coloring, but they also can look on the other side and get an idea of the story that was covered. And even if everything on the worksheet or question sheet wasn't covered, they're still going to have some idea of the story in class. So we like involving the parents in that way. They can ask their kids questions off of that sheet. So the teacher-parent question sheet, and the reason we call it that is because we find that both teachers and parents use it. So that's why I refer to it that way. And the sheet is mostly comprised of questions. So the teacher-parent question sheet, it has two main sections. Section one will be at the top, and that section is called Understanding the Story. So, the questions listed in the section Understanding the Story, they can easily be answered by looking at the Bible story itself. The Bible will be your answer key to the questions on this sheet. We don't have a separate answer key because all of the answers are in the Bible story. So, that's important for you to know. These simple questions are intended to give a more thorough understanding of the story. These questions will help the children understand the facts and the events of the story. Understanding the story in this way will help the class make clear and appropriate life applications later on. So basically what it is this, the first section called Understanding the Story is, you'll see there's a bolded, there's bolded statements, bolded sentences, and then there are bullet points underneath. The bolded sentences are kind of a story marker. It's kind of a statement of where we're at in the story. And then underneath, with the bullet point, will be questions. Questions based off of that part of the story. And this first section, Understanding the Story, is doing just that. Our goal is to help the children understand the story, understand what's going on, so that later on they can see maybe what there is to learn from the story, how God wants, what God wants them to learn from it. So some of the questions will also help the teacher identify keywords that the children do not understand, so that they can then explain those words. If a child does not understand key words, they may significantly miss out on understanding the story. As a child, if you don't understand a word that your teacher used, it can distract you, it can confuse you, it can even make you misunderstand what's being said. And that's something, especially for teaching this age, any age really of children, but especially this age, we want to be very aware of the words that we use so that they can understand. So we want to use simple words, if we can't think of a simpler word to use, we want to explain what the word means. So some of the questions may prompt you to ask them or give you a simple definition of a word that you can help them with. So asking questions is useful in expanding our understanding of the Bible, and by using simple who, what, when, where, how, and occasionally why questions, we will help the children learn more from the story. Using questions can help lead to discussing each Bible story in a meaningful way. It's amazing how much, even with this young age, you can really discuss a Bible story in a meaningful way, and questions are a wonderful prompt to do that. So we have found that for sure. So the second section is titled Simple Truths, and that's on the second half of the page, the lower half. And the questions listed in this section are based on observations that were made during your time in the first part of understanding the story. So we want the children just to understand what's going on in the story, but we don't want to leave it at just an understanding and, you know, just of information. We want to at least give them the opportunity to, you know, hear from the Lord and allow the Lord to take it deep into their lives and to apply it to them, even at this young age. So after discovering what a passage says and after we make the words understandable for the children, the meaning and the application of the story will come very naturally, as the Lord has already been speaking through his word. The questions in the simple truths section should help to take what was learned in the story and apply it to our lives. Now, this next thing I think is so important, and it's one of the best things to do when teaching any age, but especially the preschoolers, is that that is to look for a simple truth and make a simple application. You don't need to overcomplicate it. You may look at this list and go, that's way too much for preschool, but I missed one of the most important things. I'll go back to it. You may look at this and go, this is way too complicated. I can never go through all of these questions. I only have like this amount of time and I'm working with this age. That's okay. The most important thing that I missed on the previous page was when using this sheet with the children, you do not need to ask all of the questions on the sheet. And I want to emphasize that because they are written in an order, depending on the circumstances, depending on how long you had, if you were more one-on-one, maybe you could get through a lot of them. But in most situations, you're probably not going to be able to do that. And so you may use, even if you're teaching a 2 or 3-year-old, you may use 1 question or 2 questions, and you may end up answering the question. That's okay. They're still hearing the truth. They're still hearing God's word. And they're, so this page is mainly comprised of questions, and there will be some statements, some explanations given, but mainly questions. So you probably won't be able to ask all of them and use all of them, but that's okay. However the Lord leads you to use it, you may even want to go through the list of questions beforehand in your own time of preparation at home and highlight questions that you think would be very good for the class that you're going into, just as you prepare things that really maybe the Lord is speaking to you and leading you to share with them. You may want to do that. So look for a simple truth and make a simple application. It may just be 1 simple thing, but it can be a powerful thing. So do that. Some of these questions will encourage the class to pray about what they learned in the story. This helps the story move from information only to application in the children's life. So often there will be a prompt at the end of a question sheet, and that will encourage the class to pray about what they learned. And their prayers at this age are really sometimes amazing to listen to. They get it. The Lord's speaking, the Lord's working. They're seeing how this Bible story, what happened here, that's happened to me before, and I need God's help. So it's amazing what the Lord's gives them. So that will happen sometimes. The question sheet is intended to supplement the Bible story, not to replace the use of the Bible. So I want to make sure that that's clear. Teachers should use their Bibles to prepare for class and then to teach from during class. So if you read through this list while you're in class, the children will not hear the Bible story. This is a supplement for you so that if it can be helpful, you can refer to it. But there's going to be some gaps. Not every part of the story is covered, and these are in question form, not story form. So it's important that you use your Bible to tell the story from, and questions are valuable. I have found them to be very helpful, personally, while I'm teaching the little ones. And the Bible story is not on the question sheet. It's in your Bible, but we hope that the question sheet can be helpful in some way. So now I'm going to talk about, because if even when we're teaching little ones, I have found you still have to prepare somewhat. Pastors prepare to teach, and if we're teaching the children, we should put some time in to prepare so that we're ready to give them God's word. So I put a few things down, and of course, do as the Lord leads. If some of these can be helpful, that's wonderful. But these were just some ideas I had. So number one, of course, we want to pray. Pray for understanding for yourself and the children that you'll be teaching. Jesus was walking along the road with the two men, and after his resurrection, and the Bible says that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So the Bible is a spiritual book. The children, they need their understandings open just as much as anybody. Number two, look at what came before the story. Context is very important when teaching the Bible. Something significant may have happened before the story that would be important to tell the children. Maybe the story is crossing the Red Sea. Well, it would be helpful for the children if they knew a little bit of the history that they had just left these people called the Israelites, had just left a place called Egypt, and they were servants there, they were slaves there, and they were treated very badly, and God was rescuing them. He was bringing them to a new place. And that's why the army was chasing them, because they didn't want the Israelites to leave. So context is important. Look at what came before, because it's going to help them understand. And you can state it very simply, but it's helpful for them. So that is good to do. And then thoroughly know the story. When you know the story well and you're less dependent upon reading it, it will help make the story flow more naturally as you tell it. So become very familiar with the passage. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. Number four, look at the question sheet and ask the questions to yourself. Consider the answers by looking at what the scripture says. Pray through whatever the Lord speaks to you. And then maybe at this point, something will really jump out to you that the Lord's speaking, that you feel he really wants you to emphasize with the kids. You know, that simple truth with a simple application. Maybe highlight that part. Or if you have another question or think of something you want to tell them, write it down and just have that time of just reflecting on the scripture yourself before you teach it. Number five, while preparing, look for keywords that children may not understand. Think of simpler words that mean the same thing and could be used instead. So we want to use words that will be understandable for the children. We want to communicate in the language of our listeners, and they have Their vocabularies are still growing, they're doing amazing, but they're still limited. And so we want to use words that they will likely understand, and we can ask them, do you know what this word means? And you'll get a good idea if they do or not. And then if you need to explain a word, explain it. If you can use a simpler word, you can do that. Number six, listen to your favorite Bible teacher teach the portion of scripture that you're preparing to teach. I found that this can be a blessing just to enhance my own understanding of the passage. Maybe it's not necessary. Maybe you feel like, wow, that's a lot of preparation. I don't do all these things every time I teach. But there are times where I go, you know, I'd like to hear a pastor teach on this. So I'll choose, you know, one of my favorite pastors and listen to that. And it's a blessing to me, and then potentially could bless the children also. So as number three stated, thoroughly know the story. I'm going to talk a little bit about that because I have found that to be one of the biggest things and greatest helps and tools that I have gained through the last few years of even knowing how to know a story, how to learn a story, how to remember the story, because I can read through a passage and just the way my mind works, not remember what I read. And others, there are some who are blessed and they can read it once and remember it. I'm not like that. And so I want to give you a little bit of what I do and how this skill has really been so helpful in teaching these little ones. So if you want to tell the story by using maybe a storytelling method like flannel graph or puppets, simple drama, props, pictures, or any other story, creative storytelling method, there's something that you need. You need to know the story that you're telling, because it's hard to do two things at once if you don't know at all, if you haven't prepared at all and you don't know what the story is, and you're trying to use your other hand or both hands to, you know, maybe express it in a creative storytelling way, then it's going to be a challenge. And we still want to use our Bible. I always keep my Bible close by. If I'm not holding it, it's close by. And the kids know I'm telling them the story from the Bible. I'll refer to the Bible. But I also like to know it. I like to have it in my memory. So here's one way to ensure that you'll know it well so that you can tell it in story form. Were any of you in my mom's workshop, The Easy Way to Hide God's Word? And so a couple of you, so you have a head start on this because this is the basic method that I'm going to briefly explain to you. So if I want to learn a story, I'm going to open up my Bible after choosing that story. I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to read through the passage that I want to learn, the story I want to tell to the children, and I'm going to read through it from beginning to end. It may be a 10-verse story. If it is a very long story, I may take it in portions, but for just the sake of example, if it's a 10-verse story, I'm going to read all 10 verses from beginning to end, and the most important thing is to read it out loud. That is key. That's why it's in all capital letters. So read your Bible verses out loud. And I'm not going to read it right now for the sake of time, but what I would do is, for sake of example, I will do Luke 19, 1 through 10. That's the story of Zacchaeus. And I would read out loud verse 1 through 10. And then I would close my Bible and I would close my eyes. My Bible's closed because I can't peek. And I would close my eyes because that's going to help me picture it. It's going to help me not get distracted by everything. And I'm going to say out loud, that's key again, out loud, as much of the story as I can remember. Now, the first time I read through the story, when I'm just starting to learn it, and the first time I close my eyes and I say it out loud, I may remember that Jesus was there and there was another man, and I think a man climbed a tree or something. And that may be all I remember. That's okay, because I remembered something. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to repeat that. And I'm going to open my Bible and read verses 1 through 10 of chapter 19. And I'm going to try to pay close attention. I'm going to see things that I left out. or things I got wrong. And those are now gonna jump out a little bit more. And I'm gonna notice them more this time. And so after I read it again out loud all the way through, I'm gonna close my Bible, close my eyes, and I'm gonna say as much of the story as I can remember. Maybe this time I'll remember that Jesus went into a city. I don't remember the city's name. But he went into a city. There was a man there with a different sort of name. And he couldn't see, he wanted to see Jesus, but couldn't because he was short. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree. So maybe I'll remember more this time. And then I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again until I know the story well. I may not have it for this. My goal may not be to memorize it word for word. I have used this method to learn passages word for word. But just because I'm wanting to tell it in story form, I'm just wanting to remember the details, the order of events, and the main things in the story so that it's you get the full picture. So that is how I started preparing for teaching the preschoolers, and it made a huge difference. I had their attention so much more when I would tell a story than before, and I liked using pictures. I'm pretty simple in my class, but I saw how even knowing the story well made such a huge difference. It caught their attention. They were so much more engaged. And so I would encourage you to give it a try. It takes time. It takes a little bit of perseverance. You kind of feel like you're not getting it the first few times, but then it starts coming. And it's really exciting because then you know the story. And so I'm going to tell you the story. And this is the story that, one of the first stories I learned several years ago. And as I was in my sister's workshop, I peeked just as a quick review. But I had it. I remembered all the details. Even I realized that from that quick review. And that's just to say that I don't memorize very easily, but this method really has been effective for me. And I don't know if it was 3 or 4 years ago, we were in a SCS training, and that's where we picked up some of these skills, and that was one of the first stories I learned, and it's still with me. So I'm going to tell it to you just to see. You can kind of see what I'm talking about. Now, there's going to be words that will come up that would be important for you to explain to the children. For sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of those words, but I would either tell you ahead of time that there's a word in this story and it's tax collector, and I would explain very simply what that is, or maybe when I get to the word in the story and I say tax collector, maybe I would pause and explain it to you. Either way, I'm going to want to take the time to explain to the kids what the words mean, or I'm going to change a word out for a simpler word. So for sake of time, I'm not going to explain all those words, but you can kind of put a check mark by the words, go, okay, you'd have to explain that word, you'd have to explain that word. So here's the story. So Jesus entered a city, or I could say he went into a city. That would be a little more simple. So Jesus went into a city called Jericho. Now there was a man in that city, and his name was Zacchaeus. Can you say Zacchaeus? Well, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't because there was a crowd there, and he was too short to see over the crowd. But he wanted to see Jesus, and so he ran ahead of the crowd, and he climbed up into a tree. This tree was called a sycamore tree because he knew that Jesus was going to be coming that way. Well, when Jesus came to the tree, he looked up into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Well, Zacchaeus hurried and he came down and he welcomed Jesus with joy. But some of the people who saw it, they complained and they said, Jesus has gone to the house of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said, Lord, if I've taken anything from anyone that I wasn't supposed to take, I'm going to give 4 times that amount back. And if I, or, and he said, and I'm going to give half of all that I have to poor people. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. For Jesus has come to look for and to save those who are lost. And partway through that story, I realized that I left out the part about Zacchaeus being a tax collector, because I had told you that before the story, and I just dropped that. So I saw things that I had left off, and that's why it's good to still have the Bible close by and still refer to it, but I hope you could get at least a general idea. Most of the time, I'm not standing up. Most of the time, I'm sitting down close to the kids, and I have pictures that I'm showing them or something like that, and so you can use different methods, but I have found it so helpful, so engaging to the kids when you know the story, when you can engage them, and it will be very natural to stop and ask them a question here and there. And then you may go through the entire story and tell it to them like I did, and then have a time of asking them questions and then answering. Or you may pause and talk about a certain word or ask a certain question. So it gives a lot of options, however you want to use the questions. I'll say again, look for a simple truth and make a simple application. If the simple truth may be God's love for that one person who was a sinner. We know that all people are sinners, but he took time for one person. He loves us that much. He would take time for each one of us. He loves us that much. And so maybe that simple truth of God's love and that simple application of how God loves the children. So don't overcomplicate it. I have found that the kids can often handle more than what we give them. At the same time, we don't want to choke them out with too much information, but you can kind of gauge that. You can see when they're done, when they've reached that point. But my experience with a class, a combined age class, which if you have combined ages in a group in preschool, it's a challenge. Any ages, but it has new dynamics. But my experience is I would have them on the floor, and what we would do on the floor would be we'd go over our rules, we would sing, we would do our Bible story, and we would pray. I would have them on the floor for about a half an hour, 30 minutes. If the dynamics were such that I knew they couldn't stay that long, it may be closer to 20 minutes. But I don't know if I ever did less than that. And so using these tools, knowing the story, questions are so valuable because it's very engaging. The kids want to answer. If they're simple questions, which most of them are very factual, at least in that first section, they're going to know the answers, or you can easily lead them to the answers, and that's going to build their confidence to be able to answer questions later on. And it's very engaging. They love answering questions. So our goal in teaching the little ones should be to lead them to Jesus, the only one who can save their souls, the one who can change their lives and take them to heaven when they die. We know that the world needs Jesus very badly. Every boy and girl that walks into your class or your bus or whatever setup you have, they need Jesus. And they want him. And the battle has already begun for their souls. You can count on that. The battle is raging. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not waiting until they get older. He's starting immediately. So we want to go for it, for Jesus reaching them. So after telling the story, you can invite the kids also to narrate part of the story back to you. That's basically just them telling it back to you. Whatever part of the story they can remember, they can tell it back to you. It may be the whole story, maybe just a portion, but they love telling back the story. Or you may have a time of question and answers as a review. And these are great ways just to reinforce the story with them. So what if the children don't answer the questions? Well, I would say a couple of things to that. It could depend on the class, on the dynamics, what's going on in that specific class, but also things to be aware of would be that the questions that you're asking them are in reference to something that you already taught them, because you have to teach them something in order often for them to know the answer. So if you ask a question that maybe you didn't even talk about in the story, they may not have the answer. So be aware that you're asking a question that is in reference to what has already been taught, so that the answers are attainable for them. Give them enough time to think about the answers. Sometimes they just need a little more time, and they'll get it. They're good, they're thinking, so give them a little more time, and that can do it. And if they don't answer the questions, go ahead and answer it for them. They'll still hear it, and that's still good. So whether or not the children answer correctly, be positive, be encouraging, and this will encourage them to continue trying to answer any questions that you may ask. So in conclusion, for just the next couple of minutes, I want to cover a couple of things that I have found to be so effective in teaching this age and any age of kids, in my experience. So, interacting with little ones. Create a welcoming atmosphere for the children. This may include setting out coloring pictures and crayons so that they know it's ready for them, it's welcoming, the coloring pictures are just inviting them to color them. And another thing that I love to do is turn on worship music in the background. This really makes a difference for the atmosphere of the class, for the time when the kids are just hanging out, playing, coloring. This, I turn off the music when, you know, it's study time and singing time, but just before we get started, so depending on your setup, if you have time where they play or color, turn on some background worship music, and it calms the class. It creates a very soothing atmosphere, and I can totally feel the difference when I do that or when I don't do that. Setting out the toys. If you have toys, set those out so they're ready. Warmly greeting and welcoming each child into class. These are just little things, important things, but they make a difference in that atmosphere. Remember, you are a big part of the classroom atmosphere. Your demeanor, your smile, your greetings, it makes a big difference. There was a four-year-old who asked my sister, who was teaching the class, he said, "Why are you so happy?" And that four-year-old noticed his teacher's demeanor. And he probably would have noticed if she was grouchy. And she was able to say, "I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm so happy that I can teach you God's word." And that just, he would have felt very welcomed in that sort of class. And that would have just been helpful in, you know, everything else that would come up in class, and him hopefully receiving God's word and just being more relaxed, more open, more ready. We want them to be as comfortable as they can. So remember that children are people. That's the next thing. And treat them that way. You may be surprised at how well they respond to this. I think sometimes we can maybe change our whole demeanor or change the way we talk to a child. But they're people, they're young people, so we want to treat them like they're young. That's why we're sensitive to use words that they understand. But when you treat them as a person, you realize they have feelings, they have emotions, they have a mind. They can watch you in all your interactions. And if you're just the same, natural with them, showing them love, showing them sensitivity, they respond so well. I've seen it just in my own teaching experience with my mom, my sister. I've seen it with other teachers that I've been able to observe. The kids love when you just treat them as a person. They're a little person. They're still learning. They still need to be taught, but they respond so well. So maybe practically what this could look like would be some of the following that I'm going to share. I wrote two lists. One is positive ways to interact with the children in your class, and then unhelpful ways to interact with the children in your class. So I'm going to read through both and then go back and talk briefly. about a couple of them. So, positive ways to interact with them. Making a point to learn their names. Giving eye contact. Giving cheerful hellos when they come in. Showing interest in their lives and enthusiasm. Asking simple questions. Getting down on their level. Showing sensitivity to their feelings. Showing your enjoyment to be with them. Giving them time to talk to you. Setting simple rules. Managing the class well so that they feel safe. Reaching out to the quiet ones and the difficult ones too. Encouraging them and giving them vision for their lives. Unhelpful ways to interact with the children. And I have observed these. Maybe not all in one class or all in one teacher, but groups of them in one class or one teacher. And so these aren't just, I'm not just pulling them out randomly. These are things I've seen, and that's why I want to just raise all of our awareness. So unhelpful ways to interact. Never attempting to learn their names. Not bothering to say hi. Just make sure they get to the toys. Not showing interest or enthusiasm. Using big words that they won't understand. Being distant from them during class. That may be not that you're trying to ignore them, but maybe you're just talking to the other teacher or the parents when you could be with them. Sometimes we don't have a choice, but laughing at them, having a long list of rules, acting annoyed, being negligent to look out for their safety, not dealing with the child who is dominating or distracting the class, ignoring the quiet ones, and only ever correcting those who are difficult, never encouraging them. So this would kind of give you like two extremes of what it would look like. Not showing sensitivity and kindness, and then showing that. Going back to the positive ones, making a point to learn their names, how important that is. And we probably already realize that, but it's just a reminder. It means a lot to the kids, it means a lot to the parents or the grandparents, whoever brings them, and they notice that big time. Asking simple questions, getting down on their level. I had a girl come in, she was 4 or 5, and she was just not happy. Something had happened, or she was having a bad day or something, and she did not want to do anything in class. She just literally stood in the middle of class, did not want to play or anything. And I went over to her. I tried to encourage her to play and, you know, be a part of the class. She didn't want to talk. She didn't want to do anything. So I started asking her questions that I thought maybe could interest her. So we got around to, do you have any pets at home? Her face just lit up. She was so excited to tell me about her animals, her dogs. I sat down on the floor next to her. Pretty soon she sat down. Pretty soon a group of kids sat down and we were all talking about our pets. Now that was something so simple that I did, but you saw how she responded. That wasn't hard for me to do at all. It took a little bit of perseverance, like it's not working yet, but we got there and she enjoyed the rest of the class. She was participating and happy the rest of the time. So it was something very small, but it showed her I valued her. I was glad she was there and I was gonna take the time to make her feel comfortable if I could. And she responded so well. So it can be the small things that make a big difference. Also reaching out to the quiet ones and the difficult ones. The quiet ones may be going through just as much as the difficult ones are. The difficult ones probably are difficult because they have a difficult life. Oftentimes that's what happens. But the quiet ones can be going through a lot that we don't see, that we don't know about. So reaching out to them and then encouraging them, giving them vision for their lives. The story was David and Goliath and how God had used David. And I looked at a little guy and I said, God wants to use you. And his face lit up like I had never seen this child's face lit up. And he had some challenges. But I trust that God wants to use him in some way. And you saw how it brightened his day and just ministered to him. So often it's the little things that make a big impact. Showing the children that they are valued and loved. We want to bring them to Jesus. We want to love them with the love of Jesus. And I think that's what God wants to do in their lives. He wants them to taste and see how good he is and his love for them. So God bless you as you're doing that. I know you are. And may he just continue to richly bless you and the children that you minister to. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your service. And God bless you.